You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye the Movie Guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we get a little indie as we cover our top three favorite indie actors.
I can't wait. There are some amazing indie actors, and I've got a few of them on my list.
Last week on Cinema Jaw, we had a Star Wars special. I think it's safe to say this is our indie film special.
Yeah, we are definitely going to different ends of the spectrum, back to back.
We are. We are doing this in honor of not only picking our top three favorite indie actors, but we have two interviews to bring to you, Jawheads. Both joining us via Skype from Los Angeles, we have a writer-director of the indie film called Blue, Charles Huddleston, joining us.
Yep, and we also have the director and producer of the film Damn Foreigners, Saheed Cozy and Edwin Avenis.
Awesome. Can't wait to get those guys on the Jaw.
Yeah, it's cool to get some people in from L.A. on Skype, man.
I agree. Yeah. The Jaw is growing, man.
Yeah, they're a few hours behind us. So.
Plus, we're going to ask Saheed and Edwin to judge a cinema war. And in honor of this blitz we're already receiving of the new Godzilla movie, I see the trailers constantly when I go to the show. It's just a ridiculous idea. They will be judging us on that cinema war.
Yeah, and it's funny because Bryan Cranston's in the film, so you just got to wonder if Godzilla is actually just like a giant meth head. Looking for the blue meth, you think?
I would actually really hope that that's the case, because yeah, that would make a much more interesting movie.
He takes the meth and then he like destroys the city.
Where does Jesse fit in on all this?
He's cooking, man. He's cooking.
Aaron Paul's driving around in his new speedster.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Also, we're going to ask writer-director of Blue, Charles Huddleston, to take you on in trivia. In honor of Captain America Winter Soldier being out in theaters, we will be playing Soldier movie trivia.
Oh, I can't wait. You know what else I can't wait for? Captain America.
Oh, geez. I tell you. Probably have to review it next episode.
It's going
to
be a tough call between Captain America and Godzilla.
We also have a theater review of Noah. That's Darren Aronofsky's latest film with Russell Crowe. Nice. Plus, sticking with the indie theme, you caught a Netflix streamer.
Yeah, I caught Cutie and the Boxer. Yeah, which awesome. Which is also a masturbation euphemism.
Ooh, there we go. First and foremost, I know the Jawheads want to know what the April selection is of the Cinema Jaw Virtual Movie Club. Now, we had selections. We threw this out onto Twitter and Facebook. Numerous came in. If I had to take an absolute guess, it was probably somewhere between 20 and 30 selections came in. We did narrow it down, Jawheads. Number one, sort of our criteria is it's a movie that me and Matt have not seen that is sort of flew under the radar. And then also, too, that it's streaming or has a very easy access for people to view, because the fun part is for the Jawheads to be able to watch it and then comment
sure.
with us.
Yeah.
So that was sort of our criteria. We narrowed it down to, I think, 13 films are in the hat, wrote down all of the selections and who sent them in. So we're going to dig deep into this hat. Matt, I'm giving right. you the honors.
Oh, well,
yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, so go ahead, dig deep, pull a winner out
okay,
there.
Hang on. Let me get one out of here.
And just select one, too.
All right, well, hang on. All right, I got one.
Is that two?
No, wait, it's just one.
Okay. All right, here it is.
All right, and the pick for the April/May film club is Stander 2013. This suggestion came in from Sean McQuilkin. Stander is a 2003 biographical film about Captain Andre Stander, a South African police officer turned bank robber, starring the Punisher himself, Thomas Jane.
Nice.
And it is streaming on Netflix.
Good deal. I know Sean sent this one in. It looked very interesting. I've watched the trailer. I think I watched all the trailers of our selections that were in the hat. This one looks extremely interesting. Dare I say I haven't seen the film yet, but it looked sort of like a Guy Ritchie-esque type film.
Nice. You know, I really like Tom Jane.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I love The Mist, and I actually am one of the few people that really liked the Punisher film. So a lot of even people like me, Rye, the comic book nerds, didn't care for it.
Stander, it came out in 2003. It's streaming on Netflix. Jawheads, you have all the way until April 30th. We have such a busy month, highlighted at the very tail end by C2E2, our special there. So we're going all the way until the 30th. You have to watch this. Comment, and also at the end of the episode, Elias will be giving you the Jaw hotline number to call, and you can always leave us a voicemail message. And definitely, you know what we should do for sure? This is you know, came to my mind as we're doing this. Ooh. We should have the person who selected it, Sean McQuilkin, no matter what, has to call into the Jaw hotline and give his two cents, since it is his selection.
You hear that, Sean?
Awesome. So Stander 2003, there it is. That is our April selection.
Speaking of Tom Jane and C2E2, did I ever tell you the story of how I met Tom Jane at C2E2?
No.
This is a true story.
Come on.
The absolute true story. The very first C2E2, before we had just started doing Cinema Jaw, and I still had a booth at C2E2 doing my comic book stuff. And Tom Jane walks by, and Charles Klein was at the booth, and he just blurts out, "Hey, you want to see it?" And it became this big inside joke because, like, Tom Jane looked very embarrassed and it was awkward. But then later that day, I was going to relieve myself in the men's room, and who should saddle up to the urinal next to me? But Tom Jane.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm an idiot, and I think, well, he's going to obviously remember that awkward moment. So I said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry about my friend." And he just looked at me. I'm like, "Oh, man, I made it even more awkward."
This is punishing.
Yes. Well done. Well done. That's my Tom Jane story.
Nice. Well done, Matt. It brings us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore. And Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
Redbox Instant.
Boy, oh boy, tell me more.
Redbox Instant is a great service. Not only will you get their streaming catalog, which is very impressive, you can supplement that with all of the new releases from their universally found kiosks.
Yes, you get 4 credits every single month and the unlimited streaming, all for $8. And the best part is, Jawheads, you can try out their service for free for 1 month by going to cinemajaw.com, click on the ad in the upper right corner, try out their service free for a month, and you help out Cinema Jaw as well.
That's a win-win.
Eye for an Eye this week, Matt, is Under the Skin. In Scotland, an alien takes the body of an attractive young woman and travels the country in a van picking up men. As she lures her victims into sex, the men are trapped in a kind of preserving liquid, and their organs are harvested. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and is written and directed by Jonathan Glazer, whose other 2 directed works include 2000's Sexy Beast and 2004's Birth. Matt, interested or ignore on the indie film Under the Skin?
I will say interested. This trailer is pretty amazing, and it looks like a really different role for Scarlett Johansson. And actually, there's some text that flies by in the trailer. If you blink, you'll miss it. That they say this director could be the successor for Stanley Kubrick.
Ho, ho, ho.
I mean, that's tall order. And obviously, the trailer's trying to sell the film. But, I mean, just to say that, that takes some brass balls.
I agree. And you really hit on a point here of it being a sort of an interesting role for Scarlett Johansson to take on. A seductive alien. This is perfect for her, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm very excited. The trailer, I think it's... I love sci-fi films that are intriguing that way. You don't know... Oh, it's a sci-fi film. The aliens are coming to blow up the Earth. It looks like there's much more deeper context here. Totally, totally interested in checking this one out.
Kind of reminded me more of a David Lynch film.
I agree.
Than Kubrick. From just the trailer. Obviously, I haven't seen the film yet. But.
Yeah. 2 interesteds for Under the Skin, and I thought it would be fun to go round robin and describe, as we do sometimes, Scarlett Johansson in 3 words or less, Matt. And I threw this out onto Twitter, and I actually told the Jawheads, keep it clean. I'll go first with my 3 words or less, and I have listed very full lips.
Yes, she does have very full lips.
I mean, her lips are, pouty, are very pouty lips.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it's her defining feature of her mouth area.
It is definitely the defining feature of her mouth area.
But yeah, there's a lot of 3 words that you could go round robin with Scarlett Johansson. Matt, what do you got?
She's not hard on the eyes. Let's see. I would
not
say,
hard on the eyes.
That's more than 3 yeah. words. I don't know. This just popped into my head. Sexy superstar. She is.
Got to go all S's there.
Yeah. How about that for alliteration? I got another alliteration for you.
Oh, boy. We threw this out onto the Jawheads on Twitter. Did we get some responses,
we
Matt?
We did. Neil Ramji, who's the same on Twitter, said, "Sassy Soda Stream supporter."
Nice.
What's the reference?
I don't know either.
All right. Well, anyway.
You're throwing these at me? I don't know.
She can support my Soda Stream. Mark Kearney, our good friend, said best voice performance for her excellent voice performance in Spike Jonze's Her.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. I mean, totally captivating. People wanted an Oscar nomination just for her voice performance, and I was right along with them, and it really sold the film of Her. I mean, you needed a strong, strong female voice in that role.
I agree. You know, when I heard that casting choice, I was like, you know, I don't know about her voice. She's a great actress, but she definitely did a great job there. Caddy, who is Caddy underscore the great, said, hot, okay actor.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Is that a girl who was chiming in on that one?
It is. Yeah. It is. What are you suggesting? That's sour grapes?
Yeah,
or
a little bit of jealousy there.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say that she's like an excellent actress, like, oh my God, she's, you know, Kate Winslet-esque. But I think she holds her own acting-wise. I love her in Lost in Translation. She's great in Match Point. She's got some strong roles, and especially her voiceover work in Her. Yeah. I think she's sort of earned the point of being a little bit above your normal, just good-looking actress.
She's awesome as Black Widow, too.
Next, Matt, what else we got?
No, I've loved her ever since Ghost World. I would concur with you there. Movie Micro Review, who is at Movie Micro RW on Twitter, said, oh my God. All caps.
I could see that.
Yeah.
People are infatuated with her, Matthew.
Yeah, it's not hard to be. Here's some more infatuation. Joseph DiNardi, who is the same on Twitter, said, I love her.
Nice use of three words there, Joseph.
Okay, one more. Here's one more. Mr. Film Critic with a K. Film critic with a K said, sexy, fearless, funny.
I don't know how funny she is. But
I don't know how fearless she is either. I mean, she's had some strong roles.
Yeah.
And she's had some relatively comedic roles.
But I think that's what he's saying, fearless. Like, she'll take a risk. So I agree
with that. She's taking a risk with this new film, I would say.
Yeah, so she's fearless.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're taking it the opposite way than he means. But I agree with that. I just don't know how funny she is overall. I've seen the movie, also the Woody Allen film. It escapes me now. Throw it in the jaw box. There's a movie. It was one of the last Woody Allen acted in with Scarlett Johansson, not Match Point. It's a comedy, and it really sort of bombed. It was one of Woody Allen's weaker films.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it too, but yeah. We'll let Elias do something.
Jawheads, if we miss three words that describe Scarlett Johansson, keep it clean here, guys. Keep it clean. And you have Twitter pulled up. Shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, I said Twitter pulled up.
Yes.
All right. Matt, I did get out. Speaking of new movies, I did get out and catch Noah.
No. What did he say?
He's going to destroy the world. Can it not be averted?
Man corrupted this world and filled it with violence. So we must be destroyed.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to hold the innocent.
Mother! What? Them!
What do you want?
Did you really think you could protect yourself from me in that?
It's not protection from you.
I have men at my back, and you stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
There was only one reason I was excited to see this film, and it had nothing to do with the special effects, the biblical story, or Russell Crowe. The one and only reason I was interested in checking out Noah, Matt,
Jennifer Connelly.
Darren Aronofsky. He is a director that has earned my attention and my money at the box office. For as famous as this biblical tale is, Noah is a very short story in the book of Genesis. Thus, Aronofsky has much leeway in telling this big screen adaptation. Now, he does throw in some quote-unquote strangeness into the film. For instance, there is a group of fallen angels known as the Watchers. Aronofsky chooses to depict the Watchers as rock giants, resembling something out of Lord of the Rings, for instance. However, it did not get strange enough for me. I wanted more of that type interpretation from Aronofsky. The message of the movie is part environmental, but mainly sticks with the theme that man has sinned by killing man and that God is cleansing the earth of the human race for its failure. One shocking thing has to be how little the animals played in the movie. This is what everyone remembers from the story of Noah. They simplify how they got the animals on the ark and how they all got them in to get along in harmony. For one, the animals were summoned, Matt, by groups to the ark. We have some impressive shots here of all of them coming toward Noah. And secondly, once on the ark, they use this special incense that puts the animals to sleep, and that's it. We don't hear much from the animals ever again. The final third act of the film is almost a psychological piece as Noah is going mad as he tries to carry out his mission for God. I'm actually sorry to report, Matt, this is probably the worst Darren Aronofsky movie to date. When it ended, the question that popped into my head, why did they make this? Ride the Movie Guy's grade, a disappointing two Jaws.
It's a shame that he passed on his opportunity to do a much better movie, The Wolverine.
Ah, boy, oh boy, you and those comic book movies.
Yeah, yeah. Fortunately, The Wolverine did turn out good. Sad to hear that Noah did not.
Yeah, you know, I really wanted, as I mentioned, more strangeness to the film. You know, there were elements I thought, oh, this is going to work because Aronofsky's going to go in that Aronofsky direction that I want him to.
Yeah, yeah.
But you wonder, too, I don't even know the target audience they were shooting for here because as I watched it, I thought, there's obviously people, I saw this at a very early screening on a Saturday morning, there were obviously Aronofsky people in the theater that were, you can just tell they were there to see it for the director. And then you have sort of the people who are going to see it for, you know, religious reasons or in the Bible. And I don't think that the movie actually satisfies either group. It's just sort of in between. It doesn't pander to the people who are going there for the biblical story of Noah and want to see the big screen adaptation. I think they would be a little disappointed because it takes these liberties that make it a little strange. But the people who wanted to see it as a Darren Aronofsky film are going to be like, he didn't make it strange enough or give us that like wow factor that he's done with every other film that he's worked on, you know?
Yeah.
So
it was definitely a weird choice for him, you know?
It was. And I think that was the intrigue to it. And going out, I didn't get that question answered. I walked out still thinking, boy, that was an odd choice for him to make this movie.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Two Jaws. Jawheads, if you've seen Noah and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet. I'd love to know what you guys think. We'll retweet it, get the discussion going. We love to talk on social media. Matt, speaking of indie films, and that is our theme this week as we pick our top three favorite indie actors and have some indie directors joining us. You caught a movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
Cutie and the Boxer.
Cutie and the Boxer, which was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Documentary. It did not win. Of course, that went to
20 Feet from Stardom.
Thank you. This is the story about Noriko and Yoshio Shinohara.
Ooh.
And they are Japanese immigrants, artists, who moved to New York in the late 70s, early 80s, something like that. And they were Yoshio, the guy, was a part of the pop art movement in the 70s in New York. You know, there's a couple of shots of him with Andy Warhol and stuff like that. But then they grew old and irrelevant. They're very poor. Their house is shabby. It's dirty. It's full of clutter. But funny, strangely enough, the film, I found it to be very calming. And it was beautifully shot. And even when the subject matter gets slightly disturbing, it was like doing push-ups on ecstasy.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain it better than that. There was something about it that was very visual and somehow relaxing at the same time, even when it was challenging you. Ultimately, at the end, I found that the message was positive and uplifting, even though it takes you on a journey. There's some definite dark points of this relationship between these two artists and their children, or child, I should say. It won the Sundance Film Festival for Best Director for Zachary Heinzerling, and I would say that was well deserved. It was a really good documentary. It's streaming on Netflix. Big recommend. I'd give it 3.5 Jaws. I really like this one.
Wow, I'm gonna have to check this one out.
I might even watch it again just because it's really about the ambiance of it. You know, it's just so. I don't know. It sets a mood. I really like this one.
Nice, nice. Definitely cool, put that one on the queue.
There's some cool animation sequences, too. I mean, they do this a lot now. It may be getting a little cliche, but I found it fun.
Nice.
So I liked it.
Nice. Now, before we get to our top three favorite indie actors, actresses, we have an interview here. Joining us via Skype is writer-director Charles Huddleston, who has written and directed the movie Blue. It's a very interesting story about a young man in the woods sort of away from society, and he is that way because he actually has a rare disorder where his skin pigmentation is actually a bluish tint.
This is interesting.
It is. Let's bring in Charles via Skype.
Charles Huddleston, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thanks for having me.
Charles is joining us via Skype. He has a new film wrapping up, I guess. It's about to hit the festival circuit. It is entitled Blue, as we mentioned, Jawheads. Charles, can you sort of describe the film for the Jawheads? The trailer, I have to say, looks interesting as all hell.
Well, thank you. Thank you. The basic idea is the film is set in rural Appalachia. We filmed it in western North Carolina, very remote area. So up in the mountains, up in the hills, there's this man who has lived most of his life in isolation. He decides to walk down out of the mountains one day into one of the small towns. The thing about this guy is he has a genetic condition that gives his skin a blue color. This is actually an actual thing that occurs. It's an actual condition that people had in the 1950s. There were some cases of this in Kentucky, and so it's one of those stories that people have heard about, they know about. My grandmother actually told me about these people. She lived in southwestern Virginia, where my family's from. The story of these people had always fascinated me, and so I wanted to tell a story about someone who, in present day, might come out of the mountains with this condition and how he might be welcomed or not by the people in the town and how he might react to being thrown into that civilization.
Sure. And a film that jumped out at me after watching the trailer that I sort of related it to was Edward Scissorhands. In the fact of him being sort of an outsider outside of a town, but also, as you were describing, I mean, that he has this skin color that is a bluish tint, or you know, overall his skin color is blue. Very strange, much like Edward Scissorhands, you know, having scissors for hands. Was that sort of an inspiration when you wrote the movie?
I don't know if it was an inspiration, but it's definitely a very good comparison, because it is that kind of story, that outsider story, the fish out of water story of someone who has something that makes them physically different. And like that character also, he's very shy. He's very new to interacting with people, because he's only interacted basically with his family up to this point.
Sure. And now, is this your first feature film, Blue?
This is my third feature film.
You know, a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are aspiring filmmakers or filmmakers themselves. And can you tell us a little bit about the strategy you have for the film festival circuit and distribution? Like, how do you go about securing things like that?
Sure. Well, you know, that's kind of one of the advantages of having done two previous films, is I've built up a network of people here in LA. You know, they liked those films, and while they couldn't necessarily do anything commercially with them, you know, they sort of joined the team and became an ally. We'll get a sales agent to take it on. We'll get it out to film festivals. The sales agent will start marketing it to distributors and see who wants to acquire it for each territory and what kind of distribution they see in the cards for it.
Well, I think you're going to have a lot of good luck with this one, because watching the trailer, I was definitely intrigued.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us about how you got your cast together, and definitely you know, mention some of the actors that are in this film, because
especially the lead actor who had to be in blue makeup this whole time, unless that was actually a skin, Charles.
we didn't cast our net that wide to find someone actually blue. So yeah. He was in makeup almost all the time in blue makeup for a couple of different reasons that I won't get into, because it gives away some of the plot and also some of the things he does. But we have a casting director. We've got a casting director here in LA, Matt LaSalle, who's great. He just put together the cast. In the case of Drew Connick, who plays Blue, he is a newcomer, just graduated from USC about a year ago. This was his first feature film, so he got the job just by coming in with a great audition. You know, I saw that audition and immediately, you know, saw in what he was doing some very interesting character choices, some very interesting and very real, very rooted in something very emotionally real that you could tell was coming out of him and out of his experiences. And that's that's really what I like out of actors. I like method actors. I like people who really get into a character and live it. And you could really tell that he was in the skin of this guy. So he plays Blue. My co-writer on the film, Michelle Martin, she actually wrote most of the screenplay. my idea, but she, you know, is the genius who sat down and 10 days after we brainstormed the idea, had a first draft of the script. She plays Pearl Murphy, who is the lead female.
Mm-hmm.
And she's that kind of actress too. And that's why my taste in actors is someone who really gets into the character and creates it fully.
She actually reminded me a little bit of Brittany Murphy.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's that all out abandon, mm-hmm, of any restriction. You know, you see too many actors in some of these indie films, you know, they're sitting there and a single tear rolls down their eye, but there's nothing going on inside. And that Michelle is the complete 180 from that. And is someone who is completely putting everything into the character. And she, one of the other actors, Kenny Johnson, have a great scene where they both just completely abandon any, almost any safety. You know, I have to pull them back. I have to be concerned for, you know, are they going to hurt each other or themselves, mm-hmm, in this scene, because they're just,
that's great, man.
So Kenny, you know, was on The Shield, where I knew his work. Then he's been on Sons of Anarchy and Bates Motel since then. He works all the time. He was really great. And then of course we have Kelly McGillis, who is legendary and also fantastic. You know, she has a very, very touching scene, and it's something that I don't think we've seen from her in a long time, probably going back to Witness, but it's really a powerful scene, and I'm very happy with that. And she is fantastic to work with.
I was going to ask, I mean, we haven't seen her in a long time, and I want to get her back on the big screen, you know, so hopefully this is something that reminds people that she can act, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, you forget, because some of her iconic roles, not that they didn't require a lot of acting, but they're iconic for other reasons. And, mm-hmm, and you fell in love with her in Top Gun. At least I did. I don't know. But
I think everybody did.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Everybody did. And so you kind of remember that, but you don't think of, you know, how really good she was and some of the other stuff she was doing. And yeah, she's back. Definitely.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I did want to ask a technical question about the blue makeup. How difficult was that to always keep it sort of the same, you know, hint of blue? Because it's when you're watching the movie, it's not like he's Tobias Fuque in Arrested Development, where he's, you know, part of the Blue Man Group. It's like a slight tinted blue. And was that difficult to always have the right color?
It was very difficult. We had a great makeup artist, Jenny Ledenkel, a real pro and a veteran makeup artist. She knows what she's doing. And we're also on an indie film, and this is a low budget and it's a tight schedule. So under those conditions, it was difficult, but you know, we pulled it off. As they say, all the color is eventually made in post.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, any imperfections there and any variations, you know, we're able to smooth out.
Now, speaking of the colors here, Charles, it did not escape me that obviously the main character's name is Blue, and the principal female is Pearl. And then in the trailer, you definitely used a lot of the blue color, like when you show the mountains of Appalachia and stuff. Was, mm-hmm, that something that you played with a little bit more deeply? Having only seen the trailer, I'm just wondering if that theme comes back throughout the film or not. Playing with the colors and the connotation that blue has.
Absolutely. It was definitely a choice going into it. I wanted this to be a very saturated movie, a very colorful movie. It's a very dark movie at times, but at the same time, I still wanted it to be very vibrant, and I wanted to really make it a postcard to this area. And so, you know, the 2 weeks that we shot in early November, perfect peak color time in the autumn. So all of the leaves were just hitting their colors. It was actually a little late this year.
Yeah. And it showed that you guys hit it right at their prime time.
Yeah. So that's definitely, I don't know if it was a theme, but it's definitely something we were conscious of and something I wanted to bring out.
Well, it's definitely an independent movie, as that's what we're talking about this week, that the Jawheads should keep their eyes on. Where is the best place for them to find out more information online about the film, Charles?
Bluemovie.us is the easiest web address to go to, and that'll take you to our website, where we've got links to Twitter and Facebook and everything else you can use to follow us.
And again, it's coming out hopefully in the festivals this year, which I guess if all goes well, you'd like to see it in the fall of this year, maybe out in the theaters.
That's right.
Awesome.
That would be very good.
Yeah. And are you on Twitter also yourself, Charles?
I am. I'm at CH Huddleston.
All right. We'll be sure to follow you. And Charles, when the film does come out after the film festival tour, be sure to let us know so we can tweet about it.
Yeah, sure. Will do.
Now, this is very exciting too, Jawheads. Charles is coming back to take Matt on in trivia. So thanks again, Charles. And he'll be right back to play Matt in trivia at the end of the show. Thank you again, Charles.
Thanks.
I mean, best of luck with Charles. Thanks again, Charles, for joining us. Really look forward to seeing Blue on the big screen.
Yeah, it's great that we can get these indie guys.
Yeah.
You know?
And speaking of indies, we got our top three favorite indie actors. Matt, you're getting us started this week.
I'm getting us started with an actress, and her name is Catherine Keener. She's in, I mean, you know Catherine Keener.
Oh, I love her.
Being John Malkovich, Capote. She was Harper Lee and Capote. She was in one of your favorite movies, Schenectady, New York.
She's also in the movie, she just celebrated a birthday, and I had threw out on Twitter that she was in the film Please Give, which is another independent movie that I adore. It's a comedy that enough people have not seen. Great pick, Matt. Great pick.
Into the Wild?
Yes.
You know, she pops up. Oh, you know what? Another one of my favorite movies with Catherine Keener, Death to Smoochie. Which was Danny DeVito.
And John Travolta.
John Travolta's not in that.
He's not?
No, dude. It's Edward Norton.
Oh,
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, yeah,
Danny
yeah,
DeVito
yeah.
actually directs it.
I'm thinking of Get Shorty. You're right. Death to Smoochie.
Smoochie. It was the one with it was basically like the story of Barney.
Yep.
But it was like the debaucherous behind the scenes.
Yeah, I really, honestly, surprised by this pick that you would pick Catherine Keener. I think she's one of the most underrated actresses working today because she just doesn't get enough, you know, recognition for how great she is. I love her when she pops up on screen.
You know, probably one of her more well-known roles is 40-Year-Old Virgin, where she was the love interest.
There you go.
There.
Nice pick. I should qualify mine. I don't know why I did my three. They almost could land on my three favorite most promising actors because they're all three are very young actor and actresses, but they've just concentrated on indie work right now, and that's how it usually blossoms.
That's where you get started.
Exactly. And in a few years, you'll look back and think these guys are superstars. At number three on my list, I have the actress Britt Marling.
Never heard of him.
30 years old, of course you haven't heard of him because it's a her, no. Britt Marling.
Never heard of her.
She's 30 years old. Her big break was in 2011, the indie film Another Earth. And
Was that the one with Will Smith
and
Jaden Pinkett Smith?
Oh, boy. That was, what the heck was that one? After Earth? Jesus, that boy, forget that one. This one is Another Earth, indie film about basically another Earth, basically.
Oh,
coming
is that
into
based
orbit.
On the 80s TV show where all the Cosby
right,
kids go
jokes.
To college?
So Another Earth comes into orbit with our Earth. But it really is it's a great drama where Britt Marling plays this girl who got in a car accident drinking and driving and actually killed some people and the regret in her life. And she actually befriends, and I don't want to go too much into it, the husband and father of one of the victims. And I think the whole time it's this sort of idea of, you know, you wish you had your life over again, and this whole idea that there's this other Earth, and scientists are saying that there's probably another you on this Earth, and maybe circumstances are different on there, and she actually gets a ticket to go to this other planet.
Oh, cool.
It's really interesting film,
wow.
and it's an
you
independent film.
I
don't want to give it away exactly what happens. It's so beautiful of an ending of a film. I love it. She's also in the small films Arborage with Richard Gere, also the movie The East, and The Company You Keep, which is also a small movie with Robert Redford. All of these out on DVD. Small films. She also, I should mention, wrote Another Earth. Young talent, 30 years old. We're going to be hearing a lot from her. Britt Marling, definitely one of the best indie actresses out there right now. That was my number three. We are into our twos.
I have another actress at number two.
Wow, I have two actresses on my list as well.
Wow, how about that? I have Anna Kendrick. One of the younger ones, another one of the 20-somethings. She makes Elias look old, as a matter of fact. She was in, most recently, I think, was Drinking Buddies. I think her breakout role was Up in the Air.
Right.
Which, could you call that an indie film?
It's one of those borderlines. It's like a Hollywood production trying to be an indie film.
It's indie-ish. But you know what I like about Anna Kendrick is that she's got, you know, in her limited filmography, she's shown quite a bit of range because she can do these like comedic, goofy roles, and then she can do something kind of heavy. And I just loved her in Up in the Air. I really thought she was kind of the heart of the movie, even more so than George Clooney.
I agree. And for the Jawheads who may not have seen the film Pitch Perfect, where she is part of a glee club singing throughout the entire film, where she is actually part of a acapella club. And they're constantly singing all these famous songs throughout the entire movie. Independent, you know, smaller movie anyways, and worth checking out, Pitch Perfect.
Nice. Yeah. I will check it out.
Great. I really like Anna Kendrick.
Thanks.
Boy, oh boy, surprising me here with your list, man.
Tell me about it, man.
Yeah, no superheroes here. All right, at number two.
She's going to be in Godzilla. Did you know that? Captain Keener, really? Too. Yeah,
okay. No. At number two, I go with an actor, 27 years old. I've talked about him maybe once or twice on the Jaw here. His name is Miles Teller. And he was in, his first time I saw him on the big screen was in the film Rabbit Hole with Nicole Kidman.
Right, right.
Where they lose a child. And he was, it you know, plays the kid who actually was driving the car that struck Nicole Kidman's child. And
that's two car crashes.
I know. In one list here. Unbelievable.
It's only a top three.
But I tell you, the absolute most emotional scene in that entire movie is when Miles Teller is sitting in the park bench with Nicole Kidman, and you really get the idea of the rabbit hole title of the film, and sometimes you wish you hadn't done the things that you'd done, and you wish you'd go back in time. And
does he find a ticket to another Earth?
But it almost has that same theme. You wish you were almost in another dimension. You wish this hadn't happened in your life. I loved him in there, but then he comes back. He was in the movie Project X, which was this party movie, sort of found footage type movie. Not the best, but then he was in The Spectacular Now last year's, and that's where I've talked about him on the Jaw. Loved the movie. So worth checking out. One of the best of 2013. And now he is making news for his new independent film, Whiplash, which won all kinds of awards at this past Sundance film. I have Sundance Film Festival. I have not had a chance to catch it, but
Whiplash?
Yeah, high on my list. And he is also now rumored, I shouldn't even say rumored, but is now part of the new Fantastic Four. So he's going to be a name that is going to be humongous now, but early work here. Miles Teller, one of the best.
All right.
Yeah.
Way to go, Miles. He's going to be Johnny Storm, I assume.
I would imagine.
Human Torch. All right.
That was my number two. We're into our number ones. Who's your favorite indie actor,
and
Matt?
Number one, and this may be a controversial pick, Rye, but I think he's done nothing but indies for at least the past 10 years. Bill Boom Boom Murray.
Totally controversial. I don't even know why I'm ringing the bell.
Are you kidding me? Bill Murray?
No, because he's not done like indie films. You know what I mean?
Lost in Translation, Broken Flowers, Shop Girl, all the Wes Anderson films.
Well, he's not in Shop Girl.
He's not in Shop Girl? Oh, no. You're right. That was Steve Martin.
But the Wes Anderson movies aren't necessarily indie films. They are in a sense, but they're really... You know what I mean? They're Hollywood films disguised as indie films. I mean, they got some budget behind them.
They're indie. I agree. They're indie style films. And Monuments Men wasn't really an indie film, but he's been taking all these smaller roles. And here's another perfect example. He did the narration for Ball Hawks. Remember when we had that director
on? There you go.
I mean, that's talk about an indie film.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's absolutely an indie actor.
Well, I agree that I love that he takes these indie films.
And when he started with Wes Anderson was still making indies.
There's no doubt. Rushmore at the time was a very small movie. And for Bill Murray to put his name on it and work with Wes Anderson was probably somewhat of a risk on Bill Murray's part. But I think reading Wes Anderson's script, it wasn't much of a risk. You know what I mean? He knew what he had.
Yeah, but it could have easily failed. I mean, I just think that he's an indie guy. That's what I think of lately when I think of Bill Murray.
Yeah, controversial. But I don't know if that's what we're looking for with indie.
It's been a long time since Caddyshack and Stripes, dude.
All right, here we go. My number one indie actor, and this is an indie actor, is age 24 years old. I'm speaking of, I was hoping she'd get an Oscar nomination last year. I'm speaking of Brie Larson. And I wanted that Oscar nomination for my movie of the year last year until I had saw her, because I hadn't seen it before we made the list. The movie was Short Term 12. I absolutely adored this film, and Brie Larson anchors it, brings all the emotion you want, and I mean, just a just beautiful film and a beautiful character that she plays, deep character. Loved it. I can't say enough good things about it, Jawheads. If you haven't seen Short Term 12, it's out on DVD now. Also, her when you look at her filmography, she was in Scott Pilgrim, to give you an idea. She was in Greenberg, which is an independent film, indie film, I guess, with Ben Stiller, plays a small role there. She's also in Rampart, which I've talked about, I think, one time on Cinema Jaw.
No, it was more than that.
Stars Woody Harrelson as the crooked cop, and yeah. I really liked Rampart. Came out at the end of the year, just didn't catch the buzz that I was hoping it did, and it just sort of fell flat. But it's out on DVD also. Recommend it. I think she's going to be a humongous star in Hollywood, Brie Larson, only 24 years old, so we got a lot.
Yeah, we got some time.
We got a lot to see from her.
She's no Bill Murray.
Well, Matt, before we take a break, we actually have one more interview to get to.
Yeah, let's bring them in.
Yeah, speaking of independent films, we have the writer and director and also the producer of Damn Foreigners, Saeed Cozy and Edwin Avanes, joining us via Skype from Los Angeles.
These guys just made a film called Damn Foreigners. It's based on a true story. It's a controversial independent feature describing a Kafkaesque journey through the American justice system. Saeed and Edwin, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Hi, how are you guys?
Pretty good, man. So tell us a little bit about Damn Foreigners. I guess give us the elevator pitch. What's this film all about?
It's about a Middle Eastern immigrant who has worked hard to pursue his dream in the United States, becomes the target of false accusation and prejudice because of his brother's jealousy and envy, which jeopardizes his livelihood.
It should be mentioned, too, Saeed, you are actually the director and also producer on the film as well, correct?
Yes.
Now, the film is based on a true story, and I was wondering where this story, I guess, originated from. Was this a story that you guys had heard of, and how was it brought to your attention, and at what point did you realize that this should be made into a film?
The actual event happened in Seattle, so I have a chance to meet the person who was involved with this case, and he told me the story, and I thought about it. It's good always. There is lots of bad news about Middle Eastern, and even in Middle East, they're trying to show like American, they against you, they are like enemy. So I use this movie as an opportunity to just show how all this false news, how media can just change the reality and fact. So I try to be very honest and fair from both parties. And it's also what we hear in Middle East about United States also is not true.
So in a nutshell, the media is bad is what you're saying here.
No, it's not about that. But it's like there are lots of negative advertising.
Misinformation, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the right information. And it's good to make movies and show to American how Middle Eastern consider United States as their home, how they love this country, how they really working hard to their dream become true. So at the same time, when I see something happen in another part of the world, I see how American people, they are kind, they take care of the other people around the world. So it's all about just showing the fact in the right way.
Yeah, it's such a deep conversation that you need to have on a topic such as this, because it's amazing that I always say that film, movies, is the world's language. We can learn so much from cultures and from not being pushed by the media bias, of what they want us to sort of believe, but film and seeing a movie like this can maybe change someone's mind and their interpretation of what they've seen elsewhere in the news. And I think it's a great idea for a topic, and I think it really opens up the discussion, hopefully for everyone who sees the movie to sort of get a new understanding.
Yeah, that's true. We see the film as a medium that as a filmmakers, we can express our thoughts and our vision, and neither Saeed nor I are into really giving messages in the film. So it's just a something that how we see it, we put it on film. And most of our films are related to stories about human rights issue and social issues and stuff that we really care about, and hoping that it will make the world a better place.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I applaud you guys for it. So I wanted to ask you guys, too, it's interesting because we have a lot of indie filmmakers here in Chicago, and we go out to the Midwest Independent Film Festival from time to time to interview filmmakers. But that's one scene here in Chicago to have your film premiere. But what was it like? You guys recently had a red carpet premiere out in L.A. How well was that attended, and how was the film received out there?
We had it set up in Harmony Gold, which is a theater facility right on Sunset, the heart of Hollywood. Very good turnout, and we were very happy to see the audience's reaction afterwards. So it was very good and positive outcome.
That's great. Did you guys do a Q&A afterwards with the audience?
No, we didn't, because we felt like we wanted to just have the audience enjoy the film and take it as it is.
Yeah, just let the film speak for itself.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully at festivals we would have the opportunity to do the Q&A.
Sure, and that brings us to the question of where we're at with Damn Foreigners as far as distribution goes and getting out to the festivals. Where does the film sort of stand in that regards?
Well, we just recently finished the film. We are trying to get as many of these festivals as possible to get, as of right now, we also are speaking to a sales agency to who's interested in take on the film.
So hopefully, if all goes well, it'll be in festivals and hopefully maybe in theaters sometime this year.
Hopefully.
Keep us posted, man, because we'll definitely let everybody know when that happens.
For sure.
Yeah, best of luck with it. Well, I know me and Matt have seen the trailer, and it looks extremely interesting because I think, too, from the trailer anyways, it leads you to believe one thing, but after this interview, I think it goes somewhere else and probably is a little bit more open-ended than I think I saw the film coming, and probably presents idea of having a conversation after the movie.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's open for conversation, and after watching the movie, it's you know, you're not finished with it. You just you want to sit down and think about it a little bit, and even have a conversation with whoever you saw the film with. So I think that's the best part when you see a movie, and it gives you that aspect.
Absolutely. I agree.
I totally 100%. Agree. I love it. So for the Jawheads listening to this that want to find out more about the movie, where's the best place to do so online?
LAIndependentFilm.com or the Facebook.com/DamnForeigners is the Facebook, the fan page for the movie.
Okay.
Just they can Google us.
Right? That's what I tell people these days. Like, hey, just Google us.
Yeah. And it's such a catchy title, too. Damn Foreigners. Put it in Google. See what pops up.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on. I know you're going to come back here in a second and judge a good cinema war. And who better to have a judge in cinema war than these guys who are presenting a good conversation about, you know, prejudices.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the best in the biz. Saeed, like Edwin, we want to thank you guys for coming on Cinema Jaw.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks again, guys. And Jawheads, the name of the film is called Damn Foreigners. Check it out on Google. Find out more and wish them the best of luck. We hope to see the film in theaters. Oh, man, we got to thank Saeed and Edwin for coming on. Great,
yeah,
guys.
Thank you, guys. That was great.
Best of luck. And again, they're going to be joining us to judge Cinema War here in a second. Plus, Charles is coming back to take you on in trivia, soldier movie trivia in honor of Captain America Winter Soldier. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw. Hey, Jawheads. Exciting news. C2E2, Chicago's Comic and Entertainment Expo, is coming back to Chicago April 25th through the 27th. There's always big name guests there from the world of entertainment and comics. Plus, the best thing, Matt, we're going to be there. We have our own booth, Cinema Jaw. So stop by, say hello.
We'll be there.
Meet Elias. See what the Jaw Box is all about. See how small it really is.
You could even smell it if you dare.
It is taking place at McCormick Place. To find out more information on C2E2, visit their website, c2e2.com. Tickets are on sale now. Enjoy.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a CinemaJaw movie fact. Four actors have had Oscar-nominated performances in a Darren Aronofsky film. Ellen Burstyn for Requiem for a Dream, Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei, the wrestler, and Natalie Portman, who won for her performance in Black Swan. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
To get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw. Want to remind the Jawheads, our pick for the Jaw Virtual Movie Club is Stander. Came out in 2003. Put it on your cue, Jawheads. Matt, before we get to Cinema War, before we get to trivia, we threw at least one item into the Jaw box. We should open it up for any reason, just to get Elias Samir. Let's open up that Jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! No, what's in the box?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I had a surgery this weekend. Matt learned me good and punched my teeth in.
You're not supposed to tell anyone about that.
So he literally impacted his fist in my wisdom teeth and had to actually have them removed. So I'm a little mumbled.
See,
today.
I did you a favor.
Oh, Matt. Anyway.
Why is he so bruised, though?
Well, you know.
I've never seen wisdom teeth cause the bruising of the face like this one.
Just think of all the doctor's bills, the dentist bills he saved. Just having me knock them right out of your head.
Yeah, I thought,
that's not
originally
true.
I was supposed to tell people I fell down the stairs.
Yes,
but, I mean,
he fell down the stairs.
They heard that enough, and they know I'm in a box with no stairs. So, all right, guys,
put
here
some
we go.
Stairs in there.
There was one. Let's see. One question: what was the name of the movie that Scarlett Johansson was in, the Woody Allen film? It's called Scoop.
Ah, Scoop. That is correct. It's a total bummer. This coming from a Woody Allen aficionado.
It's a scoop of poop.
It's not that great at all. I would stay away from it.
Speaking of scoop of poop, Matt, you said you were going to scoop out the Jaw box like forever ago.
Oh, man. I'll get right on that.
All right. Thanks.
You're all welcome. Right.
And Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week. And our guests this week, Saeed and Edwin, get to play judge and jury and tell the Jawheads who they think won this cinema war. Now, Saeed and Edwin had joined us earlier talking about their movie, Damn Foreigners. Guys, welcome back to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you for having us.
We had mentioned Damn Foreigners earlier. We also wanted to talk about what you guys had done in the past and future projects.
Before Damn Foreigners, Saeed and I worked on another feature-length film, which is called Virginity. And that also carries a very controversial and heavy subject. It's about honor killing. It covers also human trafficking and prostitution. We were lucky with that film. We got accepted in many festivals. We received also lots of awards, and we had Shoreline Entertainment interested in carrying the film to the next step of finding distribution.
Nice. What's
awesome.
What's with you guys on these deep topics for films? Boy, heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah, so lots of issues.
I mean, no comedy in sight with you guys, huh?
Yeah, we're thinking about making a comedy soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think even if we make a comedy, we're going to make a very dark comedy.
Yeah.
We're going to find some deep dramas inside.
Here's maybe a title for your dark comedy, Those Damn Virgins.
There you go. Well done, Rye.
So definitely, Jawheads, check out Virginity. They can find out more online about the film.
A Facebook fan page, facebook.com/vfilm, imdb.com. It's listed there. And the trailer is also available. So if you like to watch it, it's on YouTube.
Nice.
Nice.
Definitely. So thanks, guys, for coming back on and judging the cinema war.
I think we got the perfect guys for this topic, Ryan.
Awesome. Now, there is a new Godzilla movie coming out, Matt, that is our topic of our cinema war. Heck, Elias, tell the jawheads at home what today's cinema war topic is.
Today's cinema war topic, there's a new Godzilla movie coming out this summer. Is this a good thing or ridiculously dumb? Matt, you'll be fighting. It's a good thing. Rye, you'll be fighting. It's ridiculously dumb. Let the cinema war begin.
Matt, since 1954, there have been 28 Godzilla films produced in Japan. 28! Talk about a lizard beaten to death. Not to mention, it's not that great of a story to keep retelling. A giant lizard attacks a city, and then it's defeated. Cue the music. The last thing we need is another Godzilla film.
Ryan, like it or not, Godzilla, like James Bond, is an eternal film franchise, and I, for one, am glad. His genesis harkens back to the golden age of cinema, and every entry is a special effects thrill ride. There are giant monster movies, and then there is Godzilla.
Matt, I just don't know why Hollywood insists on rebooting when they can take the basic concept and change it a bit to make it their own. Guillermo del Toro did this with last year's Pacific Rim, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Want to show off your special effects with giant monsters? Do it. Just don't call it Godzilla.
You know, I think that's exactly what they're doing, is changing it up to make it their own. This is about having fun, watching some destruction and letting go of highbrow expectations. Monster movie is the operative term here. Ryan, this is a monster movie. What did you expect, Citizen Kane?
Matt, did we not learn anything from the Matthew Broderick 1998 film? As good as some of the effects are, the story is weak, and ultimately the audience tunes out. I would much rather see originality, like I said, in Pacific Rim or even Cloverfield.
Now, here's the thing. This is starring two of my favorite actors, Bryan Cranston and Elizabeth Olsen. And let's not forget, this is directed by Gareth Edwards, who did the 2010 indie gem Monsters, appropriately enough. I loved Monsters so much, and I couldn't imagine Godzilla being in better hands. It's like when I found out J.J. Abrams was going to do Star Wars.
When the hell did Elizabeth Olsen become one of your favorite actors is what I want to know.
I like Elizabeth
Matt,
Olsen.
Put all the stars you wanted as possible. We all know that they are doing it for a paycheck. No one asked for another Godzilla movie. This is an example of Hollywood running out of ideas. The green color here is not for Godzilla, but rather for Hollywood trying to cash in on recycled crap.
No, this is a tradition, okay? Right? It's like I said, this is a fun time thrill ride, blow them up and knock them down monster movie. And if done well, it just might have some heart. But I am in it for the Godzilla roar alone.
Whew. We are button heads here on Cinema Jaw. Nothing new for me and Matt. We throw it over to our judges, our jury this week. Saheed, Edwin, what'd you guys think of this cinema war?
Well, at some point I want to go with Ryan. Some point I want to go with Matt. But I would say more toward Ryan. I think it's just Hollywood is recycling old movies, just sake of making cash and, selling those popcorns.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. It's totally recycled. I told you that, Matt.
I like popcorn.
Matt, yeah, but I really like to see the new Godzilla, because probably with this heavy visual effect and the stuff, it's going to be a fun movie. I
see?
Like to watch.
See, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely.
It's going to be a crazy movie. I love yeah. it.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, Matt, that earns me 20 seconds to rant and rave on whatever I want. And I wanted to take this 20 seconds to do two things. One, AMC theaters. You have to limit the amount of trailers you show before seeing a movie. I go there the other day. They showed 7 or 8 trailers. It's 20 minutes deep before we even get to the movie. Limit it to 3, and better off even that AMC. Say how many trailers are going to show before the movie. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And then
or limited to three.
And the second point is Jawheads support independent movies such as Damn Foreigners by Saeed and Edwin, and also Blue, the guest that we had on earlier, Charles. Definitely get out there and support independent film, because it's very important for these guys to get their project out there and seen by all the eyeballs out there.
Well said, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, guys, we want to thank you once again for coming on Cinema Jaw. You guys have been an absolute blast having you on.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate your support for indie filmmakers. And watch out for our next project called Zoya.
Ooh, boy, oh boy. There's a teaser for you, Jawheads.
Yeah, keep us posted, man. Definitely connect with us.
Thanks again. Thanks again, Saeed. Thanks again, Edwin.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Oh, man. It brings us to the end of a great Jaw. And first and foremost, we got to thank our guests, Matt, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks to Saeed Cozy and Edwin Avenis.
And also thanks to Charles Huddleston, who wrote and directed Blue. And also, as we mentioned, Saeed did Damn Foreigners. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And we also got to thank our sponsors.
Thanks to the new 400 theaters.
The best theater in all of Chicago. Best prices on first-run movies in the entire city.
They have a full liquor bar.
Plus, they play classic movies on Friday and Saturday nights. Check out what's playing at their website, thenew400.com. And also, thanks to Redbox Instant.
Yep. And thanks to Elias Rodriguez.
The best in the biz. Thanks, Elias.
Thanks, guys. Hope to see you Jawheads at C2E2. We're going to be selling that Cinema Jaws poster I made in either sticker or hopefully poster form.
Or both.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe even a shirt.
You never know.
So, Matt, until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies. We'll be right back.